Many of us are concerned about our country and the direction it's headed. And it just does seem to me that our country is headed downhill quickly. And not just our country, but trouble seems to be going all over the world. And in daily in work, in the sugar factories, I don't know. What I'd like to do is read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 14, and then we'll pray and get started with this message. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unfaithful? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. Does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. For no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in the strife of the enemy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision.
pray that you help us to hear what you have to say, and that it gets from our head down into our heart,
so we change who we are, so that we will live
lives
before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So look at verse 1. The Bible says that the authority that exists are appointed by God. That does not mean that God approves of everything
that human rulers do. In our presentation, we know that God was here to go. We had a thing of God against his own mind. So we need to be submissive to authority, because what happens when that breaks down? We have anarchy in our society. And we've,
in Baltimore a year ago and all of
us, we witnessed that
real quick.
No.
And in Rockford, the other day, when verse 5 says that we should submit to authority
for two reasons. To avoid punishment.
I thought about that when driving over here today
across Maryland 200. Try to keep the speed limit
and to maintain a good conscience. And in verses 6 to 7, okay, 6 to 7, it says that we should pay taxes and respect
and honor those in authority.
So we need to be careful about how we speak to
those in authority, especially in the political
season
that we're in. Ephesians 4:29 says, let the rough work be at your mouth. Let the building of people up. So we need to be careful about how we speak to those in authority.
And if it doesn't build them up, maybe
we should just
be quiet. God commands us to be his Lord, to speak truth and love. And we need to do that. We need to stand up for what is of God. And speaking truth, I don't have a problem speaking truth, but I'm a little lacking in the love part. And I need more of God's love in me. And the truth really is that each one of us has surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Lord and Savior, that we receive the full dose of His love. We receive His mind, will, and emotion, His Holy Spirit living in each one of us. Paul prays in Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. And I believe that we all have that inside of us. So, why do I struggle with loving my neighbor? Why is that a struggle? Yeah, it's easy for me to love my wife, and it's easy for me to love my children, and it's easy for me to love the ones that I like. But it's more difficult for me to love someone else.
It's more difficult for me to love the criminals in our society.
And some people say to me, Larry, that's natural. That's perfectly natural. And I want to say this, that there's nothing natural about the Spirit of God living inside of us. It's supernatural.
And we, the church, need to learn how to
release this love that we have inside of each one of us, how to share God's love with our wives,
and with our husbands,
and yes, with our children, and our siblings, and our parents, and our co-workers.
We need to learn to share our love with our neighbors,
with some that are unlovable,
or hard to get along with.
Diana Ross said, what this world needs now
is love, sweet love.
But I don't know where to go
with the Lord, but I just want to say that God's love
self-love that we all struggle with. And I believe we all struggle with it. And that
it's that self-love that
we're born with.
And it's what the whole world system is built upon. So let's look at verse 8 of Romans 13.
We'll read verses 8 to 10 again.
Don't want anything except to love one another. If he loves another,
has fulfilled the law.
For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery,
you shall not murder, you shall not steal,
you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, all are all summed up in this thing, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor.
Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
God's love is not real. If it was about him, God's not commanding us to develop deep feelings for someone else. God's kind of love, agape love,
it's unconditional
and it's sacrificial. And it's more about the will. It's more about choice. Self-love, it always is about me.
And it always takes.
God's love is always about him. It's always about
other people,
and
always give. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So how do we learn? We have to learn,
I believe we do,
how to love others.
After simple obedience to God's word,
how we learn.
Not really that simple.
So faith comes by hearing and hearing
by the word of God.
Romans 10:17. To learn how to love people the way God wants us to love people. The first thing we need to do is believe. We need to trust God that what he says is true. And not only is it true, he knows what's best for us. He loves us. He knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning. Nothing surprises him. He doesn't have to learn anything.
He's all-knowing, always present, all-powerful God.
And what amazes me,
he still loves me.
He still loves us.
He loves you.
And if he commands us to love others,
he already knows that apart from him, we can never do that on our own. We can never live that out. So the first thing we need to get to know is God. We need to trust that what he says in this word is true. And that it's what's best for us. And second thing we need to do is to get to know him intimately. I think that one of the biggest problems in the church today is that many people know about God, but few know him intimately.
To know God
is to know Jesus Christ. To know his Son is Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in your life. Are you living for him? Are you
serving
other people?
How do you start living God
if you can't spend it for other people?
Are you spending time with him daily in Bible study and prayer? Are we givers of our time, or are we takers of our time?
Time is valuable for my life.
Spending time with God in
Bible study and prayer is probably the most important thing we can do to grow in our relationship with him and fill ourselves with his love
and let that love
go forth to the people around us. What this lost and dying world needs.
The rest of the chapter encourages a life of spiritual alertness and purity. So let's read on. Verse 11. And do this knowing the time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep,
for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand,
therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 11,
it says it's time to wake up,
church.
The day of Christ's return is one day nearer today than it was yesterday. And it's easy and natural for us to be busy with our life. We have jobs, our careers, our schooling, our families, the problems, the struggle of life that we all deal with. But we need to remember that we are in Christ and are citizens in this world. That our citizenship is in heaven. And one day we're going to be there with Christ face to face. And I do look forward to that day. I wonder many of you do. But as long as we live here, we need to live as Jesus lived. How do you live? In a loving, sacrificial, serving life. Look at verse 12. Again, the night is for us, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So what's Paul saying here? So what's Paul saying here in verse 12? That the present age that we live in is like a night of sin that is just about run its course. The day of eternal glory is about to dawn for all believers. This means that we should cast off the filthy garments of worldliness and put on the armor of light. So where do we read about the armor of light? We're going to turn to Ephesians 6. And 13 to 18. Ephesians 6. We'll start at verse 11. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to realize that living life is a daily battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle to cast off worldliness and to live a servant's life of love for others. And it's not natural to do that. We can't do that on our own. We need to turn to Him and put on the whole armor of God. And verse 18 is so important. How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend praying with each other? The Christian life is not a lone ranger life. Sin and self-centeredness, it can never separate us in our relationship with God, but it certainly steals, kills, and destroys our fellowship with God and our fellowship with each other. We need to be prepared for the battle at hand. That love versus self-love is a battle we all struggle with, the flesh and the spirit. So let's look at verses 13 and 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So it's a picture, as I just mentioned, of self-love and God's kind of love, or godly love. Do you struggle with self-love? You know, the victorious Christian life, if we're to live it out, we need to prepare for it. We need to dress for it. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to put on the Lord Jesus. Paul's not saying that we need to be saved all over again. Once truly saved, always saved. We belong to Christ now, forever. I do think what Paul's talking about here, again, it's a spiritual battle. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. So you don't do the things that you wish." And verse 16, the verse before that says, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So Christians, to enjoy the victorious life that God has for us, it all comes down to daily, moment-by-moment choices. We can choose to live according to how we feel or what we want, or we could put God first. We need to put on the full armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to dress for the battle. We need to prepare for the battle. It's a spiritual battle. And apart from that full armor of light, it's a losing battle. In verse 11, it tells us to wake up, church. Take off those old pajamas of worldliness, envy, self-centeredness, bitterness, jealousy. Take off that old grumpy man and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on that new nature and live this life out by loving others. Nothing shines the light of Christ like loving others. Not our way. Verse 14 tells us how to do it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. There also, how do you put them on? We already talked about it. Romans 10, 17. Spend time with God. Spending time in Bible study and prayer. Spending time with each other. Meditating on His Word. Remembering the Lord like we did today. Spending time in fellowship. What has Jesus Christ done for us? Boy, I meditate on that throughout the day as I'm working. It brings me joy. What has He done for us? We need to think about Him. We also need to think about how we're living in the light of His mercy and grace in our lives. Verse 17, verse 14 says, "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Certain thoughts trigger certain desires. Christians, we need to think about what we're thinking about all the time. Are we thinking thoughts that are self-centered? Are they thoughts or that are taken? Are they thoughts that are all about us, or are they given thoughts that are about God and about other people? What this world needs now more than ever before is God's love that we've released, and we know that God works through His people to serve His purposes. And He put us here that we can represent Him to fill the earth, not with me, but to fill the earth with Him. And that's what the purpose of the church here is, to glorify God in everything we say and everything we do. And God is love. That's who He is. And we as church are to represent, to share that love, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. God, our feet with the gospel. And share it. So, church, I just want to close with a couple questions. Are you dressed for the battle? Are you prepared to honor God by loving and serving? We all need help in that. We need to spend a little bit more. I do. I'm not going to keep for everybody else, but spend a little bit more time with the Lord. And spend time with each other. God wants us to live life deeply together as a church. So, let's pray. Father God, we do praise You and we thank You. We praise You for who You are. You are Almighty God. All-knowing, all-powerful, always present, God. And You choose to love us, Lord. And we thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we live our lives for Him and not for ourselves, Lord. We just thank You for this time together and pray for Your blessing for the rest of our day.